The U.S. Supreme Court ruled today that state prisoners have no constitutional right to present new evidence in federal court to support their claims that they weren't properly represented at trial. The vote was 6-3 along ideological lines. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
In 2012, the Supreme Court ruled that when a state court substantially interferes with a defendant's constitutional right to be represented by counsel, the defendant with a new lawyer may seek an evidentiary hearing in federal court to show that he was denied his right to effective counsel. Back then, the majority was 7-2, with Justice Clarence Thomas in dissent. Today, Thomas wrote the majority decision, hollowing out that 2012 ruling on behalf of the court's new 6-justice conservative supermajority. He said that federal courts may not hear new evidence obtained after conviction that shows how deficient the trial or appellate court lawyers were in state court. To allow such evidence to be presented in federal court, he said, quote, encourages prisoners to sandbag state courts, depriving the states of the finality that is essential to both the retributive and deterrent function of the criminal law. Writing for the 3 dissenters, Justice Sonia Sotomayor called the decision perverse and illogical. The Sixth Amendment guarantees criminal defendants the right to effective assistance of counsel at trial, she said. Today, however, the court hamstrings the federal court's authority to safeguard that right. University of Michigan law professor Leah Littman sums up the decision this way.
So basically, you can have a federal court hear the claim, you just can't present any evidence to support that claim because Congress greatly restricted the availability of evidentiary hearings.
Christina Swarns is executive director of the Innocence Project.
This opinion leaves innocent people in the nightmarish position of having no court to go to for justice.
She points to one of the cases before the court as illustrative. Barry Jones was sentenced to death for the brutal sexual assault and killing of a 4-year-old girl, but his court-appointed trial lawyer didn't investigate the facts of the case. Arizona law does not allow the first post-conviction appeal to raise the question of ineffective assistance of counsel, and on the second appeal, the lawyer didn't raise the question either. Only when federal public defenders were brought into the case for a federal court hearing did they examine the medical evidence and consult experts who later testified that the injuries inflicted on the child occurred not when the prosecution claimed, but at a time when Jones was nowhere near the child and could not have inflicted them. The federal judge hearing the case found that both the defense lawyer at trial and the appellate lawyer after that had provided ineffective assistance of counsel. As Swarns of the Innocent Project sees things, Arizona has not raised the pay scale for court-appointed lawyers in some 30 years. They have inadequate resources, and the courts often waive the lawyer qualification requirement in order to get lawyers in the door to represent those who cannot afford a lawyer on appeal.
We know at the Innocence Project, based on 30 years of representing innocent people who have been wrongfully convicted, that ineffective assistance of counsel is one of the leading causes of wrongful conviction in this country.
For defendant Jones, his only recourse now is an appeal to the governor of Arizona for clemency. He's run the course of his appeals and come up short. So too will many others. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.